And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
The Athletic.
And still Declan Rice! It's a brilliant run! It's a fantastic goal! It's a captain's goal!
Big developments tonight, but a fee has been agreed for West Ham's captain, Declan Rice.
Despite losing their captain in the summer, West Ham are doing just fine.
Tries again. Depth and action. Again, the Hammers are up.
Particularly after securing the long-term future of star forward Jarrod Bowen.
The cutback from Bowen. The goal from Jarrod Bowen. Beautiful build-up, and Bowen with a fabulous finish.
So, how have they moved on from Rice, and how far can Moyes' new-look West Ham go? I'm Ayo Akimulere. Welcome to the Athletic Football Podcast.
Throws it towards the near post, and this time shoots it! Hits it in to make it 3-1. Ward-Prowse strikes again!
I'm really pleased with the way the team have started, and the players are doing a really good job, and we hope we can continue to build on it.
All right, joining me today, the Athletic's West Ham correspondent, Roshane Thomas, and also Benji Laniardo, founder of photography platform Pickfair, a West Ham season ticket holder as well. Let's start with you on this one, Roshane. Talk to me about what you were hearing coming into this season. West Ham, European champions. I mean, it's written in history forever in West Ham folklore.
No, it really is. It's, for me personally, today I'll never forget. Honestly, it's amazing just seeing West Ham fans take over Prague and everyone just absolutely delighted with the outcome of the match. I know a lot of fans are of the opinion that, you know, it's time to make a change, especially after the Conference League. Thank you, David Moyes, for what you've done, but let's start fresh with someone else. But so far this season, Moyes has shown he's still the right man to get the best out of these players. And in terms of what I was hearing, heading to season, it's a case of, look, we want a mountain series challenge for a top six, especially having recruited well, following the sale of Declan Rice to Arsenal. But a lot of fans were concerned because pre-season wasn't particularly good, and Benji will agree with me, some shocking performances. And at one point, I wrote an article saying, listen, West Ham could be involved in another relegation fight. You know, that's how worried I was. But look, since then, it's been an amazing start to the season. And Moyes continues to show why he's the right man.
Yeah, Benji, impassionate West Ham fan. I can see a European champions. You're literally punching the air, son. But were you surprised to see David Moyes in the seat coming into this season?
Nah, he earned it. Like, I think after winning our first piece of silverware in a very long time, you know, putting his name down alongside, you know, some, you know, he's probably the best West Ham manager in history in terms of what he's achieved. You know, three seasons in a row in Europe. So I think it's... you know, he can absolutely be undervalued by the West Ham fans. That's not to say, like, he plays football that is completely delicious all of the time, right?
That was what I was irking to, because you looked at this incredible squad. You've got a Brazilian international in there, and some of the football last season was just really blocky, getting it over the line.
Absolutely.
It wasn't that attractive.
And it's like, you accept that if the trade-off is you win something, and we did. So like, I think pretty much every West Ham fan would have expected David Moyes to start the season, just because he's certainly earned, you know, at least another season. And he's showing us why that was an excellent decision, because we are looking excellent right now.
I just want to bring back to your Brazilian international, Paquetá. Manchester City was sniffing around. Obviously, there's a lot of conversation about stuff that's happening off the field. But if Manchester City are sniffing around a player, you know they're pretty decent, don't you?
He's gone to a different level. I mean, it's funny, you're watching Arsenal City on Sunday. And to some extent, that game was won by Declan Rice in the midfield, I think. We can talk about Dec later,
yeah,
right?
We'll definitely go.
And you're just thinking, now I know why City wanted Paquetá so much. Because if you'd put him in there, he would have gone toe-to-toe with Dec. And I think this is the thing that has been so surprising, frankly, about Paquetá, is that we knew he was a sort of mercurial, skillful, attacking, creative player, right? That's the reputation he came to West Ham with. But what we've got is someone that can do all of that, and he can scrap.
Yep.
Like, he is aggressive. He's you know, he's leading the league, or certainly was leading the league in some of the sort of defensive midfield stats in terms of interceptions, winning the ball back. So what we've actually got on our hands is a complete midfielder, and I think the betting allegations have seriously helped us, because he would have gone for about 80, let's say, right? West Ham fans would probably have been all right with that. In a way, I mean, I said it would have been all right with that. They would have stormed Westfield if we'd sold it. They'd sort of accept, all right, £80 million. That's probably the same with Deck. It was like 105. Yeah, fair enough, right? I think since the transfer window closed, he's added about 20, 30 million to his value, because he's shown that he can just do the lot. And he's, as you say, he is becoming a special player at West Ham.
So just as to follow up to that, the only downside is the 65 million release clause kicks in next summer.
Does it?
Yeah.
Could they renegotiate that?
I hope they do.
They have to.
But just one last point on Pekatari, right? Before the betting allegations, City's interest came to light before the match against Bournemouth, the season opener. And he played that match and he was amazing. Mm. And what I mentioned, right, is sometimes we see players linked to clubs like Man City can offer Champions League football. A player will be like, oh, you know, I'm injured or I'm not in the right frame of mind. Bekete was making these lunging tackles. He was still committed.
There's a Brazilian number 10 at West Ham. I mean, for you as fans, to be able to attract that calibre of player, especially when people are talking about, you know, can they connect with this stadium? Is it going to work in this new environment for West Ham? What's the new identity of the club?
It's testament to the kind of slight step up that West Ham as a brand has taken, like in the last, you know, 5-10 years. We can talk about the move from the Olympic Stadium, which was difficult, uncomfortable, not initially successful. But getting to the Europa League semi-final, having a player like Declan Rice playing in the Euros final, becoming established for England, I think it's made a lot of clubs, you know, around the continent take notice of us. And I think, you know, without that, we would not have got a player like Pekatar coming to West Ham. You could say the same thing about Kudus. And you know, maybe a bit of a tangent, what is so impressive, certainly with Pekatar, and we'll see with Kudus, is that you would not call him a David Moyes player, would you? You know, certainly not the kind of Pekatar we thought we were getting, this skillful, mercurial number 10, right? But over the length of a season, Moyes has made him into a Premier League player that can do the scrapping, that can do the doggies.
Yep.
And now he's, you know, down to his own personal quality and graph, he's stepped up to being, you know, an elite Premier League player. So yeah, I think that it's exciting, because these things accumulate. The more, you know, you get a Pekatar, which means you then get a Kudus. You know, you get a Kudus, and hopefully we'll be looking to bring some more players, you know, top draw players into the club next summer.
Let's talk about a player that I think, even from the outside, feels like the divide opinion, Souček. Last season in particular, he didn't seem to shine as he did the season before. And you wrote about this. And you said in your article that actually, because Declan Rice ended up taking that sort of position or those offensive responsibilities, it kind of sucked him of that creativity and those goals. But he's also said that perhaps mentally he probably wasn't there last season. This season, though, different kind of player.
Different kind of player. You have to remember, when he first joined, the comparison was he could be David Moyes' new Fellaini. Mm. You know, that's how good he was. And when I think about last season, as you touched on, Declan Rice wanted to become more of a box-to-box midfielder. Thomas Souček, credit to him, he sacrificed that offensive side of his game. Very unselfish. And I think that went unnoticed. And he came under so much criticism last season, to the point where fans were like, he needs to get sold. You don't want him in the team. If you, even now, right, if you look on a match day, quite often it's like, why is Souček in the lineup? Putting Kudus to put someone else in. So he still divides opinion, as you touched on. But for me, he's been amazing. What confirmed to me the Souček of old is back was against Bournemouth. Because I wear glasses when I cover the matches, right? And I was watching, I was like, that can't be who I think it is. That can't be Thomas Souček playing this good. And after the match, I was like, look, you're playing really well. Like, what's the factor? And he's like, look, I had time off in the summer. I haven't really had time off over the past 2 years. I'm playing every week. I had a good break, went to Greece with family. I switched off. And then after the game against Lincoln, he scored the winner of that match. I said to him again, like, you're playing really good. He's like, yeah, the time off I had. You know, maybe last season I wasn't really motivated, but now I'm motivated in every match. Like, I feel good. It's quite cliche to say a player can be like a new signing, but I really feel that's the case of Thomas Souček right now.
It's no wonder he's exhausted, because like David Moyes is addicted to Thomas Souček. Honestly, like in a David Moyes team, Souček is inevitable. Like, I think it's a really good point that Roche made, that like, because Declan was doing more box to box last year, Souček had to hold back and essentially sacrificing half of his game. And the problem was, he, you know, he's not as comfortable on the ball as, for example, Alvarez is now. But what he is a sort of, you know, good at everything midfielder who can win you as many aerials as you want, who can be aggressive in the tackle, who don't expect him to, like, you know, be a libero and spread the ball around the midfield. Do expect him to be crashing the box when the crosses are coming in. And by the way, I was saying that Moyes is addicted to Souček, right? When we signed James Ward-Prowse, it was like, okay, right, if there was ever any doubt over Souček's role in this team, like, yeah, that is gone. But it is challenging because, to some extent, as Roshan says, like, he is kind of keeping Kudus out of the team because we're playing those two defensive midfielders. We're playing Souček and Alvarez, rather than, you know, arguably you could just play one of them and have Kudus in front. So Souček's sort of comeback is deserved because he's been an amazing servant for us.
Amazing. That hasn't been announced by the club, but he signed a 4-year contract in August.
Oh, wow.
So it got to show how much they value him as well.
Yeah, for sure. You've mentioned it a couple of times now, scrappy, the word scrappy. Get stuck in. Is that the profile of a West Ham player? Is that what the fans love to see?
We probably are that basic, you know.
I was just like, I know you're scrappy, but I mean, you've got some silky players. Kudus looks quite silky.
Yeah, but he's tough. Like, it's funny, I think one of my favourite West Ham players was Tevez.
Okay,
right?
good point.
And like, Tevez obviously had the talent, but the thing that the West Ham fans fell in love with was this, like, these bulldog runs, like, yeah, the way he never gave up, the fact that he looked wider than he did tall. Like, that's the sort of thing that we do love at West Ham. It's about having the graft. Doesn't matter if you're not actually that good. Like, even, like, you know, Carlton Cole, cult hero at West Ham, he wasn't an elite footballer, but he put in a shift all the time, and we adore him, you know.
You're listening to the Athletic Football Podcast with Ayo Akinwalere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Jared Bowen, let's just go into this one because, you know, what an important player he's turning out to be for West Ham. And actually, I thought it was only Chelsea that gave away 7-year contracts. Just signed a bumper contract, a player that showed a wonderful emergence last season and has carried it on into this season. It is here to stay for a very long time. How does that feel?
I have to be honest, when I saw 7 years, I was shocked. I thought, Jared Bowen's, what, 26 right now, in elite prime right now. I thought, 7 years, that's a long deal. But then I thought, and also was told, he's very happy at West Ham. He has a young family. His twin daughters were born in the summer. And he's thinking, this gives me security right now. I'll be 33 at the end of this deal. Mm. I am the main man at West Ham. If I were to join another, let's say Liverpool, who are interested, I'm just one of many. And it says a lot about West Ham as a club, that Jared Bowen felt, yeah, I want to stay here for 7 years. Because I mentioned in a piece that I wrote the other day that once upon a time, West Ham was that club where signings used it as a brief stay. A club where it was a Premier League springboard for somewhere else. And Jared Bowen has shown he's an exception to that. and he loves playing for the club. And I believe the winner against Fiorentina in the Conference League final, of course, is taking him to that next level. Like, he's a big game player now. And he's been very consistent. And obviously, the fans call him Iron Bowen. So, yeah.
Well, you think about it, as a footballer, like, what do you want to achieve? You know, you want to win trophies. Well, he's done that at West Ham. You want to play for England. Well, he's done that at West Ham. Like, the thing that, I don't know if this was like a sequential thing, but it's really interesting that he gets called up for England and then he signs this new contract. Or, you know, I'm sure it's in the works already, but I wonder if in his mind it was like, actually, yes, at this club, I can achieve what I want to do with my career. The only missing thing, and this is why Dec left ultimately, was Champions League. Like, he's unlikely to be getting that at West Ham, and I understand that players want to sort of test themselves at that highest level.
Do you believe
that
West Ham can't make it to the Champions League?
No, I think it's possible. I think if Newcastle can, we can. But, you know, let's face it, if he goes to Liverpool, he's going to be playing in the Champions League more often than he is with West Ham. But I think especially at the stage of his career, maybe his life that he's at the moment, he's just had kids, he's happy, he's been part of this iconic, historic moment for West Ham. Like, what's the rush? Like, he can go in a couple of years if he's maintaining this form, and he's got a tournament with England as well.
One last point on Boyan, right? I want to give a special mention to David Moyes because he just had this knack of spotting a talent for the Championship and developing them into England internationals. So obviously at Everton, what was it? Phil Jagielka, Leighton Baines, obviously didn't play for England, but Tim Cahill.
Is there an idea that they want him to play as a central striker? Because I think it was in your piece you were saying, though, he's been showing him clips of like various players over the summer that has improved his game. If we look at him this season, what, 5 goals, 1 assist? I mean,
two assists,
my bad. Only the players sort of close to that. Bukayo Saka's kind of on those kind of figures at this moment in time. They've done something with him over the summer. And added a little extra spice. I don't want to use David Moyes and spice in the same sentence.
Did you see him dancing after the Conference League?
I've seen it. But I mean, what's the spice they've given him?
When you buy Nando's, you had the hot sauce. the bit missing. But in honesty, it's a case where, because Moyes did it with Arnautovic, he developed him into a forward. And when Arnautovic was a winger, he wasn't consistent, he wasn't good. He did the same thing with Antonio, been a winger all his life, a right back at one point, left back too. Play him a striker, plays against Norwich, and he scored 4 goals. And you're thinking, okay, this could work. Mm. And he's spotting the same thing with Bowen. And I personally believe it can work. And why I say that is, Antonio is 33 now. He can't do it every week. He hasn't scored in his last 6 games. If you want to bring Kudus in the team, you play Bowen up front, in my opinion, and put Kudus out on the right. Because in the last 10 minutes against Newcastle, West Ham were electric offensively. They were so good. And that was with Bowen and Kudus both on the pitch. But yeah, in terms of Bowen up front, I think it can work. I don't think it can work.
I think that's probably the best solution for how we get Kudus into the team. And as you say, it might actually, you know, make the most out of Bowen rather than having him out wide, having through the middle. As Roshane says, like, my question mark would be is that we are a team that is sculpted around having a Mikel Antonio-shaped striker, right? Like, it doesn't matter if it's Mikel Antonio because part of the problem is he's not necessarily good enough to do the Mikel Antonio role anymore, right? And we saw last year that when we try and do that with a different profile of striker with Scamacca, just doesn't quite work, right? So you need someone in there who is really strong and hardworking. And I do actually think that Bowen's got both of those things. One thing, he doesn't have the heft, right? He's not the same shape as Antonio. But he can still cause defenders a lot of difficulty that then opens up those spaces for whoever's running off the wing. You know, usually it's him, but you know, whether it's Kudus or whether it's Paquetá running from midfield. So yeah. I think that might be it, you know.
And just to answer your question before about what's like been the missing ingredient, he's much more all-round. When Jared Bowen first joined, he was almost like a one-trick pony. He would always cut on his left and try and shoot. And if you're a defender, you know what he's going to do. Now, he could go on his left, he could go on his right. And for me, my main takeaway is he's proved so much early. He didn't score a header last season, not one header. He scored a header against Luton, scored a great diving header against Liverpool in the loss. So he's becoming much more of all. And when you play for England, you have to be all round. You can't just be a one-trick pony.
So Sofa's cross, and it is the equaliser for Jared Bowen.
All right, let's talk about summer business because, you know, we can't come this far. I'm an Arsenal fan, clearly. So can't come this far saying thank you very much for lovely rice pudding, Declan Rice.
We expect our invoice today.
I'm sure you've already got it coming through drip drips. That was a stipulation, unfortunately. The real talk is you've had probably the best player in the team sucked out, but actually I feel West Ham are playing better.
No, I think you're right. I think what we were never going to replace Declan Rice with one player. he's one of the best, if not the best, well, maybe after Rodri, defensive midfielder on the planet, right? So it was sort of important that we did that collectively. You had to buy a few players. We had to ask Paqueta to be a bit more a bit more defensive, a bit more grafty. And Alvarez has come in and looks like he looks like Suchek, really. Or actually, no, I would say Alvarez is more like Rodri, but just not as good, because Alvarez can pass the ball, right? So if you take the ingredients for Declan Rice, what does Declan Rice do? Right, he breaks it up in defensive midfield and he passes the ball. Alvarez is doing that, right? He can be box to box. Well, you know, James Ward-Prowse can do that as well. And he's incredibly aggressive as well in the press. Well, Paquetá can do that. But then you've got all these other attributes from those players on top of that. So we've added like this extra set piece threat with James Ward-Prowse. We didn't get that from Deck. So I think the collective replacement is better than the individual who's gone out the door.
I agree with that. And I have a hot take. I think actually West Ham are better about Rice. Mm. That's my hot take. Mm. Listen, fantastic player. My main frustration in West Ham last season over the years is we were too reliant on Declan Rice. Every week you have to save the day. I remember it was a match against Watford Only Clubs, FA Cup game.
Kidderminster.
Yeah. Terrible. Team's playing terrible. Who's on the bench to save the day? Declan Rice. Mm. That happened every week. Mm. Like every week. Credit to him, he was great on and off the field, but if it wasn't Declan Rice, thinking, who else could it be?
It's not healthy. That's not a healthy position to be in. Yeah.
I think the team recruited so good. The hierarchy, of course, recruited so well. All things considered, I think Edson Alvarez will be the best signing.
Interesting.
Because why I say that is, if you look back at the 3-1 loss to Man City, right, we were in the game and Alvarez on the pitch. He came off and the team shape just dropped. Mm. Went to shit. Excuse my friend, but it went to shit. Mm. And Man City scored 2 goals. And I looked at the average team position, right? Because with Alvarez, he plays in front of the defense, the anchor role. I don't think there's anyone else in my squad who can do it as good as him. So he comes off and Man City exploit the right-hand side because they know they got no one else to provide that defensive cover. I spoke to him after the game against Chelsea and he was like, look, I know I'm seen as Declan Rice to play some, but I see no pressure. Mm. Like I know I can do well here. I mean, I've been playing Champions League for Ajax, you know, I bet myself to do well. And I think all things considered, as I mentioned, he'll be the best signing for West Ham.
Another one, and actually really surprised not many people came in for him, was James Ward-Prowse. 5-goal involvement in 7 games, 2 goals, 3 assists. And looking like a different kind of player. We know what he could offer Saints, but the pressure's different at West Ham now. They're looking to do bigger things. And he's stepping up quietly. And this is an invaluable midfielder. A bit like James Maddison going to Spurs. And I'm like, why is no one throwing the money at these players? What do you make of his arrival at West Ham?
I mean, Roshan, you know better than I do, but like, feels like this was one that David Moyes pushed for. Like, and it was one where David Moyes put his foot down and said, I want this player. Because you wouldn't, you know, the Tim Stardon, the technical director we brought in, you can, you know, who's Mr. Data, you know, you wouldn't expect that, you know, the algorithms would point towards a, what is he, 28-year-old James Ward-Prowse, who we know is exceptional in set pieces, whatever. But Moyes, I think, put his foot down and said, I want this player. Because someone, again, we talked about, you know, Thomas Suchek being inevitable in a David Moyes side. Well, someone that can feed the set pieces it's so obvious. But when you've got Suchek, when you've now got Alvarez, when you've got Zuma, when you've got Agüero, all good in the air, we've got Antonio good in the air. Like, and we're talking about Bowen now has added that to his game. Like, it's just so obvious. And I think that, like, it was low risk getting him in. And it was also like a really important part of this jigsaw puzzle. And Moyes could see that and he got his man. And yeah, he's looking fantastic.
Very, very quickly, Kudus. We saw what he can do.
Starboy Kudus.
Starboy Kudus. I mean, Ghanaian boy. Yeah. I mean, that the game against Newcastle, like last goal he scored, important goal. That's why you pay that kind of money for a player like that.
And it's a case of West Ham being like, thank our lucky stars we have him. Because in the summer, he was linked to Arsenal and Chelsea. And in terms of insight, he should be a Chelsea player right now. But they kept stalling to sign him because they wanted to prioritise signing Moses Caicedo. So that fell into West Ham's lap and Tim Stein, and God bless him. He just, like, yeah, you're going to become a West Ham player. Outline how you'll be playing important on this team. And the thing about Kudus is, before he came off the bench, I knew he would do something. That's the confidence he gives me now. I knew he would do something special. Like, I watch him play, right? And his solo runs are terrific. The way he just has that self-confidence. Not every player gives you that level of confidence.
He's just exciting. You talked before about, like, you know, what gets West Ham hearts ticking, right? And I mean, the graft is like is kind of the basic level that you need to apply. But we love exciting, talented players. Like, look at how we loved like Di Canio, Tevez, right? And Kudus feels like there's something exciting about him, isn't it? It's like, the way, like, he's landed much quicker. He's adapted much quicker than, for example, Paquetá did. It took Paquetá about half a season. Could have come straight in, couple of goals in the Europa, goal now in the Premier League. And we've got to get him in. Like, I already adore him. Me and when I'm driving my boy to nursery each morning, we listen to the Ghana 2022 World Cup song. Which has got, like, in the middle of the Kudus day, and my little boy now sings along. There's something exciting about Mohamed Kudus. I love it.
Oh, do you know what? Your enthusiasm sort of brings me. I know you guys have got to go pretty soon. We can talk West Ham all day. And weirdly, I'm really enjoying it. Yeah. This brings me to this moment where we look at the ownership of the club and the structure of the club, and especially this new stadium and settling into this new stadium. You know, leaving Upton Park is massive in terms of the identity of the club. You're now in this, what I call a luxury hotel of a stadium.
It's horrible, isn't it?
You know, and people talk, I've been there, and, you know, the atmosphere is not the same as you would have got at Upton Park in any way, shape or form. But then you've got this incredible sprawling estate. But realistically, how has that transition been as someone who supported West Ham for a long time to be in this stadium, but actually the football is matching it as well?
So listen, we left the soul of the club behind in Upton Park, right? Doesn't mean you can't go on to do fantastic things, but, like, that was our heart, you know, a working class East London football team. And that kind of transition to something, as you say, which is kind of this weird kind of like superdome next to a, you know, a canal and a shopping centre, right? Now, Man City did the same thing, right? When they left Main Road and went to the Etihad or whatever it was called at the time. And the trade-off you're hoping for, Man City got. They got the Yaya Touré's, they got Kun Aguero, they now got a Champions League. Like, that was the thing that was uncomfortable for West Ham fans. It was like, hold on, we left our heart behind, we've moved to this weird stadium with big capacity and everything, but what have we got? The thing that is now getting a little bit exciting is we are now establishing ourselves, I think, in the upper half of the Premier League. We've won a trophy. We are, like, you know, it's not mad to think that we can be pushing for Europa League and even Champions League each season. So give us the football, give us the players, you know, you start to feel more at home. And there have been some big nights, whether it's in Europe, whether it's, you know, beating some of the big boys at home. That's how you gradually, like, put down your cultural roots somewhere new, even if it feels weird and will forever feel weird to me.
And listen, I think the owners are visionaries. I give them a lot of credit, because right now we're in that multi-purpose stadium era. You can't just have a stadium for football now. You need to think outside the box. Birmingham Boy performed, you know, there's been baseball that's been played there. You need to think outside the box. And through West Ham moving to Upton Park, they're able to, like, get more of an income through other stuff now. And I know I'm going off topic here, but when I think about the board, right, they've been so patient. The fan base have been on their back since day one. They've been so patient. When I go back to last season, when they could have sacked David Moyes, they could have sacked him. West Ham performing terrible. Every match every game, this could be it. Through the board being loyal to David Moyes, they were vindicated by winning the Conference League, of course. First major trophy since 43 years, before I was even born. So I'm giving full credit to the board for being patient, because it could have changed. It doesn't always work with big name managers as well. We saw it with Pellegrini.
It hasn't been a straight line, but it is fair to say, very fair to say, that we are in a much better position now than when they bought us off the Icelandic billionaires that bought us sort of 10 minutes before the bottom fell out of the Icelandic economy. Like that was a weird phase for West Ham. So where we were then to where we were now, we've come a long way, and therefore, yeah, you have to give them credit.
Does it feel like at some point that relationship with David Moyes might have to be called quits? I mean, you talk about maybe seeing West Ham in the Europa League, you see West Ham in the Champions League pushing for those kind of places. Is there an idea that potentially the team and its ambitions might outgrow this manager, or is this the manager to get them to those positions? I mean, football is notoriously ruthless. One day, man's in the job. The next day, a string of really bad results, you go back to where you were last season.
It's true. It's real life football manager. But it's the last part of that question. I believe he's still the right man to get the best out of his team. You know, after the game on Sunday against Newcastle, there was such a feel-good factor. People from the board walking, high-fiving each other. James Corden was there, high-fiving each other. It feels like a family club right now, and that's all down to Moyes. I think about West Ham right now, and I think they can achieve that next level, which is hopefully to compete for a top four spot. They did it 2 years ago, but they just lack that extra oomph. With more experience through finishing the semi-finals of the Europa League, losing to Frankfurt, winning the Conference League, they're much more determined. When I spoke to Solček after the win against Lincoln, he was like, look, that win has motivated us even more. Like, we have that urge to become winners again. Moyes said at his press conference, I asked him, through winning the Conference League, does he get recognised a lot more right now? He started laughing, saying, not really, but it's giving me that inner goal, the inner goal to achieve more in West Ham. And it's worth mentioning, he's in the final year of his deal, expired next summer. Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me, considering how well West Ham are playing right now. The board didn't be like, look, we got to start some negotiations because, you know, we've got board who's committed, we've got Solskjaer who's committed, and we want you to commit as well.
For me, I still feel, after the Man United spell, David Moyes has been looking for a team like West Ham where he can really get his fingers dirty and really stamp in what he did at Everton or evolve what he did at Everton. And it feels like it's sort of that time right now where he's won the European Cup.
Yeah.
The next stage would be wherever he needs to take the club. I mean, how do you feel about him sort of staying on it at West Ham?
I believe he's the right man. December will be 4 years since he was reappointed manager. He's very personable when you go to his press conferences. And after the win against Fiorentina in the Conference League final, myself and a reporter, we spoke to him and he was almost in tears. He was like, all I wanted to do in life was my father to see me win something. And his father was at the game, of course. And I came thinking, I'm so happy for you. What you've had to deal with, the fans being on your back, and for you to have that personal moment with your father, and also win something for the club. I've got to give Moyes credit because in the summer, he lost Paul Nevin and Mark Warburton, two important members of his backroom staff. And it sort of reminds me of Sir Alex Ferguson when he used to constantly change his backroom staff. One, just being fresh with the current time, and two, just to hear new voices. And now we have John Heitinger, who managed at Everton, and also Henry Newman, who was part of the analysis team last season. And why I mentioned John Heitinger in particular is he spoke to John Heitinger about Edson Álvarez and Mohamed Kudus. He managed both of them at Ajax. So effectively, you're killing two birds with one stone, and now he's coaching them. So full credit to Moyes in terms of what he's achieved. And hopefully, you know, West Ham start negotiations with him soon because he definitely deserves a new contract, in my opinion.
Yeah, what's realistically expectation for this season? Because expectations will be high from a fan base that have gone through a lot of change, actually, if you think about it in the last 2 or 3 years. Already in Europe, already got a European Cup. You don't want to be seeing West Ham 17th again the end of the season,
Not at all. Listen, the club will try and downplay it, and obviously they'll do that. They want to get ahead of themselves. They'll say top six, I think top four. It's a bit like that season when Leicester won the league. You know, all other clubs were struggling and they were like consistent to win. I look at West Ham right now and be like, if they can stay consistent, they've got Aston Villa next, Everton after, they've got a decent running, keep winning their game, there's no reason why West Ham can't be in that top four spot.
Okay, you heard it here first. West Ham top four. I'm going to come back to you end of the season and have this chat again. Rasheen, Benji, absolute pleasure. Don't forget, you can listen to these guys on The Athletic for a special limited time offer of just £1 a month for 12 months at theathletic.com/footballpod. Thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to The Athletic Football Podcast. The producers were Adonis Pratsides and Guy Clark, with additional production by Mike Stavro and Jay Beal. The executive producer was A.D. Moorhead.
The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IN-IOWA. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.